So the majority of guys, they're just following like a false blueprint to success or to failure because they've not been given another one. And so when someone actually starts speaking about dating and they can tell, like, you know, the guy's got some experience, like Andrew Tate, and the way that he talks about women and, you know, attracting them is so different than they've ever heard from their friends, their family, every movie. A lot of guys revolt against it straight away, but it really clicks in a lot of people's minds and they're like, oh yeah, it makes sense.
Thank you very much for coming down, Hamza.
Thank you for having me.
You're new to Dubai. You just moved here.
Yeah, I've been here 2.5 weeks now. Yeah. Loving it so far.
Why did you finally decide to leave the UK? Even need to ask?
Oh man, you want to start with this question? Listen, mate, the West has failed. Yeah. Yeah, honestly, like, seeing the degradation of like Western values and seeing like the hard times hit already. Mm. Like, I'm not even exaggerating when I say people in the UK are cold and hungry right now. Like, they're literally cold and hungry. That's a developing country at this point then, isn't it? Like, their energy bills, no one can afford them. Food, shopping. Last I was in there, it's like 100 and something pounds for two people, never mind a family. People are struggling. It's not a good place to be if you're poor. It's not even a good place to be if you're rich. Mm-hmm. So it was a weird place to be in, man. And when I moved to London as well, I slept with a hammer next to my bed.
Really?
I'm not even taking the piss. Dead out. Like, I saw people out of our window, me and my girl here screaming. Delivery drivers getting robbed right there. They're punching him to take 20, 30 pounds worth of food. From that moment, I fully had anxiety. Mm. Bought a hammer on Amazon, like some construction hammer, next to my bed.
Whereabouts in London was that?
In Canary Wharf.
Canary Wharf.
Pretty safe place as well. There's the security everywhere, but still didn't feel safe to me.
Jeez. But you're originally from Liverpool?
Born in Pakistan and then moved to Liverpool when I was like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
You see, there's a lot of things I don't know about you. By the way, this is the first time I've ever met Hamza. I've known about you for a long time, obviously seen a couple of your videos, but we've never really been in the same place at the same time. So This is good. This is a first conversation, which should be an interesting one. I wanted to wait for this to have our first conversation before having the first conversation and not documenting.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So you came to England when? How old were you then?
3 years old.
Yeah. And that was Liverpool.
First Scotland, Glasgow, for I think just a couple of months, and then Liverpool.
You like Liverpool?
Oh no, it was we were there so 2000 and something till like 2008. It was very like traumatic times for my family because racism was very big back then. We were like pretty much the only brown family. And the first few years, obviously, I had nothing. I didn't really realize. I was 5 years old or so. Mm-hmm. When I'm about 8 years old, Anthony Walker gets brutally murdered nearby. And have you heard that story before?
Yeah.
So if anyone doesn't know, it was a black teenager who was stalked by a couple of guys who saw him with his white girlfriend. And they brutally murdered him, literally like a mile away from my house. And from that moment, racism spiked up. Packy all over our like garden fence and everything. People throwing bricks and stuff. Like, my sister's getting beaten up by guys throwing like Lucozade all over it. Eventually they throw bricks through the window and everything. It was like a whole chaotic scene. So I still have like this very like bitter feeling towards it, even though I know it's changed so much.
Yeah. Why did your family continue to stay in Liverpool?
Why didn't they?
No, why did they continue to stay in Liverpool?
Oh, no, we wanted to leave as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But like when that happened, it was time for us to start moving out. Yeah. I don't think we were that like well off financially. So it was taking a bit of like time to find like a good enough house somewhere else. And I think we were in that kind of traumatic situation for a couple of months from what I remember.
Yeah. So after you picked up the Liverpool accent though. I've seen a few comments and people are like, oh, where's he from? America? I'm like, no. That's a Scouse accent, everyone.
Can you hear the Scouse of me?
Yeah, of course, yeah. So where did you go after Liverpool?
Liverpool to Warrington.
Oh, Warrington. That's just outside, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. 20 miles away.
Yeah. So you went to school?
Yeah.
What did you do? Did you do all right at school?
Primary school, I remember it was pretty much just average. Mm. High school is when I started having like a bit of difficulty. Like, I was never like, you know, the dumb kids in like isolation I was never a set four kid.
Yeah.
I was in a set two for some things, which is pretty good, set three for some. And then as like the later years started, like I started having like mental problems without realizing it at the time. I'm disassociating in class. I'm sure like a lot of people can relate to this. The teacher's talking. I just was paying attention to something else. Mm. She's trying to teach the class something. I'm thinking about video games or I'm thinking about what I'm going to do next in RuneScape, Minecraft or something. So my mind was just elsewhere because I think when you have like some of these mental problems, which a lot of students do, and you know they're very anxious and stressed, you can't even concentrate. So my grades very, very much just went down. And later on, I mean, high school, I got like pretty much
all
D's.
Did you get diagnosed
like,
with anything?
No. At the time, there was no such thing as like mental health or anything. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like when we were young, no one really spoke about it. If anything, there was like that one weird kid who seemed to be diagnosed, but you didn't really relate to him.
Yeah.
Only now I realize that, yeah, a lot of students actually feel the same way.
Yeah. So you did school? You decided to go to uni? Was that your choice? Or do you feel like you were pressured into it?
Yeah, it was a pressure. Yeah. Look at my skin color, bro. Brown family. My sister went and graduated. My brother went and graduated. So yeah. It was just normal for me to go as well.
What, your parents expected you to do what everybody else does?
Yeah, that's it. Get a good job.
Go to a big company, start at the bottom, work way up to the top.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, but you, what was the degree you did?
Psychology.
did you learn a lot from that?
I still remember some good things, and I use them in my videos when I try and help my boys. But for most of uni, especially, literally just partying, going out, going to the gym. That's all I did, really.
Yeah. The degenerate,
yeah,
just like me. Yeah. When I was at uni. So obviously, you become very successful on YouTube. Your following now is what, 1.3 million subscribers? Pretty decent.
Thank you.
When did that whole journey start? Like, when did you decide to pick up a camera and why?
Age 12 or 13, I was making my first YouTube videos.
Really?
Yeah, literally. I was one of those like little squeaky voice kids on Minecraft, like recording like how to make a house and stuff. And so I got 1,000 subscribers when I was like 14 years old, making 20, 40 pounds a month. When you're that age as well, that's huge. So it's like, wow, I can buy like new games and everything. Got stopped playing video games, stopped uploading to that channel. And just had it in my mind that this was the real job I was going to do. Like, I studied to go to university just to please my parents, but I never really thought I'll get like a normal job. So it was always in my mind that that was what I was going to do. I thought I was going to be a fitness YouTuber. So literally, like, the first videos that you posted, I was watching them thinking, like, oh yeah, I'll just copy them. I'll do the exact same thing. But I was like, you know what? Let me just wait a few more years till my body's like bigger. I was like, I wasn't insecure, but you know, I just wanted to be like more muscular first.
Yeah.
So I went through all of uni, just kind of procrastinating it, waiting and waiting and waiting till eventually 2019, I made the first few videos. So late 2019, I made, I think, 4 videos. And one of them was actually the one that popped off and like really got the ball rolling.
What was that?
It was how to build an aesthetic body.
Okay. Yeah. So you started with the fitness thing.
Yeah, yeah. So I literally just made videos on like how to go to the gym, how to enjoy the gym more, how to build a body that's actually attractive and not just like, you know, build for strength, not just train for strength. And they all got like literally 100 views, which is quite high, but like I was literally spamming every video as far as I could. Yeah. Facebook pages full of like mothers and stuff, Discord, everywhere. I was just spamming my videos. So I got like 50 views and stopped posting for a bit. Bad like mental health, COVID times, you know, just procrastinating, taking drugs and everything. And started posting consistently May 2020.
So that's when everything's really started to kick off.
That's it, yeah.
Do you feel like you're making these videos because you want to have a big YouTube channel, or you genuinely want to be helping people?
The first reason I was posting to YouTube, I literally just wanted to make like £1,000 a month so that I didn't need to work like a normal job. Mm-hmm. I've worked from like pretty messed up jobs before. I've worked in complaints departments with people screaming at you, finish work at 6:30, it's already dark outside in the UK, so on no sunlight. I've worked in a homeless accommodation, seen some like scary shit there. And so I wanted to make quite literally £500 to £1,000 a month online, and I would have been the set. So that's why I first started making videos. When the first video popped off, so we were on 3,000 subscribers a year later, so June 2021, 3,000 to 25K within a month or so, and it's popping off. And you know, at that point, I'm like, oh yeah, sweet. Like, I finally got like a good job. Keep posting more videos. Let's get bigger and bigger. And I don't know when exactly it was, maybe 6 months after that, like we started to get way more of like a cult following. People really started to like resonate with the message. And you know, when you get those messages, oh, by the way, like you've saved my life. I was going to kill myself before you, but like now I've been actually exercising. I've lost 50 pounds and look at my progress picture and stuff. And since that point, now it's like, I 100%, I still have my selfish desires. I still want to grow the YouTube channel. I still want to make money. I still want to provide for my family and everything. But the biggest focus in my mind certainly is like the purpose and the mission we have, which is just try and spread as much good knowledge and like sort of I wouldn't really say father figure, but maybe like a little bit like that.
Yeah. And I, for me, like that's the reason why I continue to keep doing the things I'm doing, because when I see people on the street or they come up to me, like they've got the biggest smile on their face ever. And you know, there's so many other professions. Even if you were like famous, you know, like if you were an actor, you might not get that same level of admiration, because realistically, you don't really know who an actor is. You know, they just portray a character on a film, but a lot of the time you don't really know who they are. Maybe now on social media you get to know them a little bit more, but being like a YouTuber, at least, it's very hard to fake it. Mm. Like you are who you are.
Yeah, you've done some good work, mate. I'm here today in Dubai, quite influenced by your videos. Like me and my friend were literally like binge watching all of your Dubai series and everything. Like, oh, look, he's saying to go to this. Like, what's he ordering online? Like, you know, the meals you were eating. Oh, what's that supplement he's having? Bionic. Okay, I'm going to order some.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to like it, I think, for sure.
Yeah.
It's a good place to network, meet people, and I don't know, just crack on with whatever your mission is and whatever your goal is.
Yeah, I've met some awesome people already. And I think that one of the biggest things I wanted to do here is just meet more of my boys. Like, I actually really enjoy just doing like meetups. Like, so I do one every single Saturday. And we literally just do it in like this outdoor gym nearby. And
oh, yes, I saw that.
You can't, like, you can do it in the UK, but it is like, I think it's risky. Like, I've been fine, right? I've done meetups in the UK, been fine, nothing's happened. But every time I've announced one, I'm in London, I'm in the Starbucks for 2 hours, come meet me. My phone's getting flooded by messages. People who know me, friends, family, like, oh, watch out, you should leave your area right now, just in cases. Like,
you know what? I did my first meetup in London over the summertime. So it was my friend. It was like, we're doing a collaboration with he just opened up a restaurant cafe, and he wanted me to bring... Well, he wanted some attention at that place he'd opened up. So I said, you know what? I'll help you out. I'll do a meet and greet basically outside your cafe. And then I can try and like persuade people to come in. So I announced it. And then I just thought, fucking hell, was that a smart idea? Like, I've literally announced where I'm going to be tomorrow for at least 4 hours. And if somebody wants to get me, they can come and get me. So then I was thinking, damn, do I need like security? Because there's something which I don't even need to think about here. But there, it's different. Fortunately, nothing bad happened, but you never know. I think the problem when you start to grow a following, there is going to be a percentage of people who are absolute psychopaths.
Yeah, totally.
And crazy people.
Even if they're not hateful people, like there's some people who are literally just messed up in the mind. Like there's this TikTok star, like some little 13-year-old girl. You ever heard the story? Like the guy came in to try and kill her for some reason, and her dad... he broke. So this like weird guy who was stalking her, she eventually blocked him on TikTok. He's messaging up people in her classroom asking for her address. Eventually finds it, like someone must have leaked it or something, finds her address, creeps in at nighttime with a gun. But her dad woke up and then she's like blasted him with a shotgun. It's like like big like TikTok death.
Wow.
There's people out there who are just weird, who are just...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? This, oh wow, look, I've been watching his videos for a while. Like, I'll sacrifice Mike. Yeah, choose Mike, not me.
Have you, from the videos you've made, have you faced any backlash or any negativity from it? Because from what I can see, most of it is pretty positive stuff. You're literally just trying to help guys out, boys out, teenagers out.
Yeah,
but have people not, you know, have they had a problem with that?
Yeah, there's been quite a lot. I've been cancelled on Instagram and on Skillshare. So Instagram just banned me when I was posting about like men's mental health and saying like there's an issue.
Whoa. They cancelled you because of that?
Yeah, literally. Like I made a video saying delete Instagram, and I was just saying, oh, you know, it's bad for your mental health. Oh guys, I just wasted another hour on there. Like, you know, you just open it and you end up scrolling.
You did a
like,
YouTube video called delete.
Yeah. So
somebody...
It sounds like, oh, it's too far-fetched, but like at least a few hundred guys deleted it. So they would have got like some kind of like uptick warning or something of, wait, what's going on? And someone must have seen it, because literally the next day I was like deactivated permanently on my main account.
How many followers did you have at that time?
About 77,000.
Yeah. It's still messed up though. Like that is, like a lot of people are making a living off the social media, and it's crazy that they have the power just to be like...
Just turn you off.
No.
Yeah.
Like I've had a few times, luckily not that too many times, where I've been shadow banned. But I noticed when you get shadow banned, you're impossible to find, and you can't reach anyone outside of your audience. So for me, that's obviously quite crap, because I can't. I saw a drop in sales.
Mm.
So it's annoying, because you got to kind of play by the rules. But there's like a way to talk about certain things, but you have to be smart about it.
Mm. What did you get a shadow ban for? Do you know?
One for the Andrew Tate thing. So I put up a picture of me. This is literally a few days after the ban. So I was promoting, he reached out to me and said, oh, can you put a video up? A story up promoting that final video, which he did. That got taken down within 2 hours. And then there was another one where I was literally, this was before Tomorrowland. So me and my friend were going to Tomorrowland. And then he had my phone and he was filming me in the mirror. And I just started like dancing in front of the mirror. But I was just doing like a thrusting motion. But it was nothing wrong. Like it's just a little dance. And then somebody reported it, got taken down, shadow banned for 2 weeks. And I was like, yeah, cool. So it's weird because even now, like I have a sense of humor. It's like a sarcastic, dry sense of humor. And earlier on, when I guess you were more free to get away with stuff on social media, I used to crack jokes all the time. And then I noticed recently, particularly like the past 5 years, like people are so sensitive and they just don't understand when somebody is joking or they just don't have a sense of humor. And I'm just like, oh my God, like I can't even make jokes anymore. Mm. It's like you have to be an actual comedian to be able to get away with making jokes. Otherwise, people are going to have a go at you.
Even the comedians are getting cancelled. Yeah. Like, there's no one safe. But I saw this with Tate, actually. Like he was, you know, he made some like lighthearted jokes a few years ago. Like the kind of ones like men have been making for so long. Like, oh, you know, women can't drive. Like, I think any like sane person saw, yeah, he's clearly joking. It's not that serious. But I think there are a lot of people out there who just actually like prefer to be offended because they're so sensitive, they have no emotional control. Mm. And it feels somewhat nice to be the victim sometimes. Do you know, if your life's not going that well, it's like, yeah, well, it's got to be someone else's fault. I'm the victim.
Yeah. Well, even he was cracking jokes about anyone who's doing meal prep. It's just gay. There's nothing more gay than doing meal prep. And I you would think that someone like me who has been doing my meal prep and making videos on meal prep. Yeah, like he was literally calling people like me gay. And I was just like, no, I think that's a joke. It's funny. Yeah. I'm not going to get offended by that. But look, like the whole bodybuilding community was just like, like so offended by it. And I was just like, wow.
Yeah, people get triggered like very easily these days. Mm. And I like to like think of like traditional times. And I just think, you know, imagine a few hundred years ago, if we were all men in a tribe or in the same place, we would be saying these things to each other's faces. And this is just like the way that we just navigate our lives and conversations with other men. It's just like how we talk. And it's just fun. It's like we dig fun of each other. I don't know why we do it. It's just like how it is. Like our first like conversation on WhatsApp, I send Mike my new Instagram. His only reply is like, okay, I've reported it. And then what did I say back?
Like, cheers, pal. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, bro. I'm making a fake nighty video right now.
But I think I'm so happy with how I was brought up because my friends that all went to school, we used to just take piss out of each other all the time. Like nobody was safe. Like even someone like me, like I started going to the gym and then they'd all just completely rinse me and just be like, protein, like you couldn't get away with it. And I'm so happy that I had that because I can take a joke. I can take it when someone's having a go at me. Like I don't get offended. Whereas certain people, when they grow up and their social circle is just full of yes men, they just worship them and are just like, ha ha, yeah, you're so funny. When they come into the real world and someone like gives them a bit of shit, they just can't handle it. And they snap and they bite. Mm. And you can see on social media when some people, whenever they get some criticism, you know, when they take the bait and they bite and then they respond with their emotions. And I see that, I'm just like, oh,
I've been there,
bro.
Yeah, I've been there. But with the same kind of experience, like even I can remember times where it wasn't even like a bit of a joke or a roast. It was more of an insult. Like, you know, my friends calling me fat, for example. And then I got jacked after that. It's like, it was helpful. We as men, like we're supposed to criticize each other in some kind of way. It's seen as wrong in the modern day. We're supposed to be just nice to each other. But like, I swear, like it's so normal for men to come to each other and literally just criticize each other. Like that's all we do because it's like, oh, by the way, like here's a weakness that you have. I'll make a little joke about it. And I'm hoping that like next week you've already improved it.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't, then our tribe is weaker and you're going to get us killed.
But this is the thing. How would you know whether to take it as criticism or whether that person is like literally just being sour and negative and you should just ignore it?
I'd say look at not so much the person, but the content of it. if it's true, then it's like, okay, fair enough. Whether it's coming from an asshole or a friend, it's like, either way, if someone's pointing out something that is true, it's valuable to know. Mm-hmm. See if you can improve on that.
Yeah, true. So what's the thing you're doing in Dubai at the moment, the meetups? Is it like I saw it and it looked like some kind of a fight club.
Yeah, that's it. So we're calling it a fight cult. And it's literally just me, maybe 50 to 100 guys just meet up and we just take turns sparring each other. Just disorganized. No ref, no nothing. Just like no ring or anything. We just make a ring with people. Just set like a 3-minute timer. We do kickboxing rules or sometimes with MMA. And just go ham. Just don't like knock each other out. Let's just like let's pop each other's noses a little bit because we're too sensitive these days.
Yeah. They all loved it.
Yeah, it's really, really liked. Everyone's like, they can't wait. It's every Saturday. We just did the second one so far, and everyone's like, oh man, is this going to be every Saturday? I can't wait. Like, I'm going to get here early this time. My friends will come next time and everything.
That's pretty good, though.
Would you come to one?
Yeah, I could.
Yeah, do you want to box me?
Yeah, we could do. I mean, I have absolutely zero technique. You know what? When I did the video with Tate, he was like, oh, we're going to do some sparring now. I was like, all right, then. So I started sparring with him, and he was like, hit me. I was like, but it was good because you never really have the opportunity to do that and spar with people. And I think you learn a lot about yourself when you do it, because the idea of sparring with someone and, you know, they can hit you, you can hit them. Like it can be quite scary.
It's primal.
And it's you're facing your fear.
Yeah.
And once you've done it, you feel like, fuck, that was good.
Yeah. I said this in a video a couple of months ago. I'm terrified before every single spar. You know, if it's with a guy who's much smaller than me and I know he doesn't train or something, fair enough. But if it's with a guy my size and who's pretty good, I'm literally so scared before it. And that's exactly why I love doing it, because that fear, when you feel it, you know, the first few times it's so scary that you might not even want to come, right? And after you've done it, it's like this high that, you know, it's not even a come down, but it's like the high comes afterwards. We're like, whoa, and everyone's tapping your back. We've got like a nice community there.
Yeah.
And it's addictive in the most positive way, because even like worst case scenario, you get hit, which a lot of guys are scared of because they've never even experienced any like physical issues like this. You get hit in the nose.
Yeah, getting hit in the nose sucks.
It weirdly feels good though. Yeah. Like, I know, like, is that relatable in any way? Like, when you get hit in the nose, it's like, obviously it's painful and it takes you aback, but it's like, you've just done like an hour of meditation just there. Yeah. It's like, you are present now. You are focused. Like, this isn't your safe space anymore. This isn't like behind like your computer screen on a crusty computer chair on Discord or something on like, League of Legends or something. This is real life. And there's a guy in front of you who's going to do it again if you don't move now.
It's awesome, because I'd imagine there's probably a few guys who've shown up who don't, maybe they don't really have any friends or like a solid friendship group, and you're literally just offering this meetup where it's an opportunity for everyone to just get along with each other, meet new people, and just have some good old-fashioned fun.
Yeah.
And walk away, hopefully, feeling more confident about themselves.
With a broken nose.
Because, I mean, if you get used to that fear of fighting with someone, then everything else in life doesn't really seem that scary. You know, if you were afraid of doing something like being on camera or doing a presentation, when you compare that to being in the ring with someone, you realize actually it's not really that scary.
That's actually so true. You know, before I came here, I was in Warrington, I was doing kickboxing there, and there was a guy in my gym who was like a very good fighter, winning fights fight after fight after fight. And a couple of times I went in the cage with him, like they locked the cage behind you, got 3 minutes to survive with this beast. And he's so quick as well. His name's Jamie. And after, like, obviously he beat the shit out of me like 4 times. But afterwards, it's like, it gave me this, not arrogance, but a nice level of confidence where, like, if I was, you know, out on a night out or anything, or, you know, there was a bit of like scare with like, oh, that guy over there, he's not going to fight like Jamie. So it's like, yeah, fair enough. There's still a bit of a risk. I'm still scared in some sense. But once you've like done the extreme thing, anything lower than that just feels a lot less intimidating.
Yeah. It's, I feel like in another life I would have gone down that route. I would like to have a fight with someone at some point.
Yeah,
just to know what it feels like. But I know it's the ball ache, the prep beforehand. Like, if I knew I was going to go into the ring with someone, I would take it extremely seriously, and that would mean training every single day. I'd want to have a good coach. I'd probably need to, like, you know, that have the whole mental coaching with it as well. Because nobody wants to lose.
Mm.
Doesn't look good when you lose.
Mm.
But it would be interesting.
There's a lot of
I would have to find people always say that I should fight like Matt, like Matt Disfitness, or someone like equal So equal experience, equal kind of build. So it's like it's a fair
stiff bodybuilder.
Yeah, both of us will be
tight hamstrings.
We'll be absolutely gassed after 20 seconds, just like leaning on each other.
No cardio.
So I watched when Thor and Eddie had that fight, and that was fair play to both of them. That was like they were stepping out of their comfort zone. Both of them, just big lumps of muscle that obviously were strong men, and they completely transformed their training. And I trained with Thor. This was like probably, I don't know, it was 6 months out or something. It was a machine. Like, it was fitter than me. Like, I was trying to keep up doing the cardio stuff, and I was like, oh my God. And it was just like walking apart for him. So it was cool. But I was interested to know why you refer to yourself as a cult leader. Why cult leader? Why that title?
This is a cult, honestly.
What's the definition of a cult for you?
A cult is... we'll say it's a group of extremely dedicated people to some kind of cause or vision, and there's got to be a cult leader for that. And you know, there's audiences, there's followings, and I had those at some points, but my audience changed very quickly to more of a cult. Like, there's certainly, you know, 1.3 million subscribers. There's certainly some guys who have subscribed who aren't like part of the cult, but there's like there's very, very dedicated guys. Like, essentially, you know, this weekly event that we're doing is like, oh yeah, come down, line up, and let Hamza punch you in the nose. And there's like 50 guys rushing in. Oh man, I can't wait to get punched by Hamza today. it is a cult following. It's the amount of guys who have dedicated their days, like their lives, to what I preach. And you know, they have to blindly trust some things because they've never done it before. They don't have anyone who's ever done the things I preach before. Like, oh yeah, meditate, eat clean, journal. No one in the family does this stuff. None of their friends do them. So they've dedicated. They've gave up most of their friends, their social circle, and everything. Like, destroyed the old part of themselves, which they hated, which was causing like suicidal thoughts and mental health issues. And they've created this new version of themselves, which is in line with the things that I've preached to them, which at that point, it's like, this is no longer just like a normal like influencer or anything. Like, I'm not, you know, an influencer with the fake lips and like selling like some tea or some shit. Yeah. We're long past that now. I think it is really a real cult. I think it's probably the biggest cult of the world right now.
So you don't want them, because I was looking up, like, I wanted to know the real definition of cult. And it was associated with some negative cults, but you don't want them to have that obsession and worshiping of you, but the cause and the message that you're trying to spread.
Yeah, that's it. That's why I created like the two characters, and I speak just, oh yeah, let's become like Adonis, let's become like the ultimate man, because I have a lot of mistakes. If people just copy me, then they're going to copy a man who's work in progress, which is still probably honestly,
well, I think everyone's still working in progress.
For a lot of guys, that's still so much better. Like, for me personally, I was imitating guys like yourself and Joe Delaney and, you know, other YouTubers at the time. I was just imitating you guys. You were like my role model. So I'm just pretending to be a lot more like you. So, okay, he's doing this exercise, I'll go and do it. I'll go imitate these guys. And I realized that whilst that can create a lot of progress, there's a little bit of an issue with that, which is that you're emulating someone who's still got like major problems that he's still working on. You know, from the outside, it looks awesome. This person's doing amazing. But from the inside, you kind of know, oh yeah, like everyone's got major stuff that they're working through. So I wanted an ideal for us to reach to instead of it being on me.
I think it's important for anyone watching, and the way I consume my content, I don't like look at someone or read something or watch something and just believe it. Like 100%, oh, this must be facts, so I'm just going to believe that as the truth. I just absorb what I need to absorb. And if I don't agree with something, then I'm like, okay, yeah, ignore that. And then maybe I'll absorb something from someone else. It is important to choose wisely who you're absorbing that information from. And I think it's probably one of the reasons why Andrew got banned, because a lot of young kids couldn't decide, you know, what to ignore and what to actually listen to. And even with me, when I was like, because I listened to a lot of his podcasts and a lot of stuff he said, I was like, well, don't really agree with that. But it's fine, because there's not one person who I agree with 100% on everything. And I don't think you need to be honest. Everyone has their good points, bad points, and so on. And even with all the videos which I've made in the past, I never wanted someone to replicate exactly what I'm doing or follow in my footsteps. I just am giving people some advice, which I think would be helpful, or just telling people the mistakes which I've made in the hope that they don't make the same mistakes which I make.
I think that's a really smart way to go about it. Like, you know, see different sources of information, critically analyze all of them. But I think that comes from our bias of already having like a lot to lose. So you're being careful with the new information you're taking on. For me, when I was like down bad, 17-year-old masturbating six times a day, watching porn, playing video, you know, that type of stuff. There's no way that I'm sat there like, let's go check the like, fact check if this really hits the bed. You know what I mean? I'm not going to do that. It's just for me back then, it was so much easier to just attach myself to some influencer, some role model that I was following. So be it like yourself, Joe Delaney, Mo Samuels, you know, these guys on YouTube, I just kind of start copying them. Mm-hmm. And everyone said that this is wrong, and maybe it is, but the thing is, my life changed forever when I literally just started copying people. Honestly, like I was 17 years old thinking, okay, this guy exercises like this, I'm gonna do it. This guy's got this kind of personality with girls, okay, I'm gonna imitate that. And obviously by like copying and imitating someone, you can never do it 100% right, which means that then you have your own individual twist on it anyway. But there's no way, like even though this is the smarter way, like I do this now, like if I see something new, I kind of fact check it and everything. But there's no way I was doing this when I was 17 and like jacking off whilst I was seeing this.
I think it's really difficult for the youngsters who are 17, 18, 19, at that stage, they don't really have an identity. Like, they aren't really anyone. They haven't done anything. So, because I remember when I was in my late teens, early 20s, I didn't really have this confidence about myself because I hadn't done anything. Whereas now, being 32 and everything that I've done and achieved and so on, and the experiences which I've had, I feel like, you know, I'm so much more confident. But I feel like the youngsters today have way more role models out there compared to 10 years ago. There was a lot fewer people making these kinds of videos on social media. So I'm sure, I mean, I can't even imagine how many lives you've positively impacted. What are your, I mean, could you summarize the main messages or the main what's the word I'm looking for? You have your cult, you have your message. How would you summarize that? Like, what are the main things? Obviously, no porn, no fapping, or a little bit of fapping once a week, fat.
So what I say, how I summarize it is, I teach these two concepts. I say drastically decrease instant gratification. And those are the like the feel good, pleasurable things that we want to do right now, but they usually make our life worse in the long run. People don't usually want to accept that bit. So, you know, everyone's got a vice that they think is absolutely fine. But for a lot of young guys, it's porn, it's video games, it's drugs, it's scrolling on TikTok and Instagram and everything. It feels kind of pleasurable right now. Mm-hmm. It feels easy, but it does make your life run. Like even video games, that's the one I get the most like hit back for. Even video games, every single time you play, your life does get a little bit worse every single time, because, you know, if you went the extreme route, then your life is like destroyed if you become like a full-on video game addict. So you drastically reduce those like bad habits, and then at the same time you drastically increase the delayed gratification activities, and those are the ones which are very like uncomfortable and challenging and hard and difficult right now, but they make your life work better in the long term. So that's exercise, eating clean, meditating, having a good sleep schedule, studying, working hard, working on a business. So it's kind of like, it's kind of common sense, obviously. It's like, don't do the bad things and do the good. But when I've explained it like this, people finally realize like, oh, that makes so much sense. You know, people wonder why they feel so depressed and why they feel like they're in such a rut. And when I tell them, like, when you do instant gratification, what you're doing is just stealing happiness from your future self. Like when you watch porn today, you're literally taking happiness and pleasure from your future self. When you play video games, you're doing the same thing. And like, this has been like, you know, I'm not a scientist, but this has been like scientifically proven. Like you do ruin your brain when you do these things. And the issue with this is eventually you become your future self. A lot of young guys don't understand this concept. As you have gotten a bit older, you know that the things you've worked hard for, eventually it's like you become that future version of yourself looking back, and you're like, oh, like, thank you, younger me, for doing that for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't build this body, you didn't build yours, it was our younger selves who did it. So that gives us like a sense of self-love, because we did something for us today, even though we didn't get the rewards of it previously. And if you flip that around, the amount of guys and girls who are just stealing happiness from tomorrow and again and again and again and again, and then they become their future self and they hate themselves. How couldn't you? If you look down and as a guy, you can't even see your own dick, you're way overweight, you've got like messed up hormones and everything, you hate your life. How could you not have this like sense of depression and even suicidal thoughts when you just think of how much happiness your younger self just stole from you?
And I think even the easiest, quickest fix to sort yourself out if you're feeling depressed is to go and do some hard exercise. Just doing, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes, hard exercise maybe even just like some HIIT training. Because for me, whenever I do the activity which I enjoy doing the least, whenever I have some of my friends come and they get me doing some CrossFit circuit or something crazy, at the time it feels horrible. But afterwards, like, I'm on a high. And then I'm on a high for the rest of the day. And everything else, just even just the choices I make when it comes to the food which I eat, it's on point. Everything is just aligned after that. So yeah, it's pretty mad. Are you friends with Sneeko?
A little bit. I wouldn't say close friends, but yeah.
Was there a little bit of beef?
Yeah, there was.
What? How did that come about?
He called me gay.
Did he?
Yeah.
What, like, literally?
No, he saw a video of me stretching where I was showing, like, a workout routine or, like, day in the life or something. Mm-hmm. He started, like, shouting, saying that I was gay, saying that, like, you don't need self-improvement, that this is a bad advice, that, like, he doesn't need self-improvement, that, just like a bunch of condescending stuff. Mm-hmm. He was just kind of, towards me, he was just kind of being like, you know, like just joking around, calling me gay and stuff. But then I think he went a little bit too far with, like, he started criticizing like my followers and saying like, you know, they're weird for needing this stuff. He's past this phase. It's just bad. It's not even good for you or anything.
But why do you think he felt the need to do that?
He started making like react videos. That point, you know, you just find whatever video and start reacting to it, react. And then obviously if you choose like a pretty big YouTuber who's got an active audience, it'll be shown in their recommendations. Mm. So but loads of people found it, sent it to me. And yeah, there was like the beef started from that.
But it's like, it's all good now though.
Yeah, it's fine now.
Yeah. I always find it mad when some people have literally made their careers off just purely reacting videos.
Yeah.
Like, I've had a few done about me. But it's never really been enough for me to go and make a reaction back.
Yeah.
But
if you see one, let's say you're on YouTube and you're
the most ones I get is the natty,
yeah.
Like, oh, fake natty, not natty, blah, blah. There's loads of them out there. And these guys have no proof, no evidence of anything, but based off just the way I look, they're like, right, I'm going to make a video about this guy.
Yeah. You seem used to it now, but like back in the day when you first saw it, did that hurt?
Real quick, guys, I just want to share with you something which I spent the end of 2023 putting together for you. You see, in life, if you are unhappy with something, you need to change it. That is one of the core philosophies that has driven me, my businesses, and my fitness over the past 10 years. In recent years, I've been asked frequently how I've managed to go from being an average personal trainer, working all day, every day in a gym in the north of England, to the position that I am in today. That is why I decided to create the Digital Playbook. This is a step-by-step blueprint for anybody who finds themselves in the same position that I did years ago, wondering to myself, how can I make money online? Can I really make a full-time income from creating content about the things that I actually like? How can I travel the world, work from my laptop, and at the same time still afford to live a great lifestyle? It's essentially a playbook on how I built multi-million pound businesses off the back of creating content online. If you want to check it out, head over to thedigitalplaybook.net and you can book in a call with my team to find out more. Let's get back to the episode. It was, you know, everybody says, oh, surely it just must feel like a compliment. And in a way, it's good because you're being talked about. So it's good publicity in some sense. But the thing that pisses me off the most is when people think I'm a liar or people think that I'm coming up with, you know, me saying I'm natty to try and sell something or scam people or whatever it might be. And it's not. It's like, it's literally, I'd made a choice not to take any steroids and I'm getting accused of it. It's mad now. We're in a situation now where people who are being accused, the people who are opening up to saying that they've taken steroids are getting more respect than the people who aren't taking steroids and say that they're not taking steroids.
Yeah, it's always been like
it's
that.
Like, it's weird as fuck. But don't get me wrong, there's a lot of people in the industry who are actually taking something. But the only thing I can possibly do at this stage is do the same thing which Matt has done and go through the testing is that from Derek, more place, more dates.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get that done next year. That's the only thing that annoys me at the moment because I have no evidence or proof to say or to back up my claims that I haven't taken anything.
Yeah. Have you got your testosterone checked recently?
Yeah, it's normal. So I do the thing with Bionic.
Yeah.
And the testosterone is in the normal range.
Do you know roughly what it was? They'll want to know.
I can get
a few hundred or so. Yeah, let's see, bro. Let's prove it right here.
I'll pass it on to you. So, free testosterone. The free testosterone is high, but the total testosterone is normal.
Is this with MediCheck?
That's the bionic thing.
Okay.
So basically, I do this every 3 months because I'm just trying to optimize my health and see what I'm deficient in and what I'm not deficient in. That's because good. Even that was one of the most common questions which I got asked all the time was, oh, what supplement should I take? And I would say to them, well, I don't really know. It's completely dependent upon you, your blood levels. You may be deficient in something which someone else might not be. So why would you go and take a load of supplements when you don't necessarily need to be supplementing with something?
Mm. So let's see, we got 21.34 nanograms per deciliter free test, which is on above the high range. I was above that as well, actually. The range is 5.7 to 17. I think I was on 19 as well, and I still had like some problems to fix. So I don't think it's like impossibly hard to get above that. So
if you scroll down, there's the total test as well.
Let's have a look.
But again, that's not really enough to prove anything, really, I don't think.
Is it not?
If you wanted to get a full legitimate round of testing to prove that you're natural, it would have to test for a load of other different things, and you'd need to be tested over a long period of time. So basically, I would need to maintain my condition or be in better condition whilst getting tested, and Derek check everything to see that.
Yeah.
So it's not like an easy bam one test prove natural. It's like something which needs to be done over a long period of time.
Yeah.
Matt was telling me the other day that it took him like, this whole thing has been going on for 6 months.
Yeah.
You have to put a load of money up front, random testing. Like, there's a lot of organization that takes place. And Derek is a very busy guy. So it's something as well he has to commit to.
Yeah.
But fair play to both of them for doing it.
So at this point, you're guilty until proven innocent, really.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
And it's annoying.
Yeah. Because this has been going on for a while. Like, so I've seen videos of yours years ago where you were talking about this.
If I was taking something, then I would come out with it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm very honest about everything else. And obviously, I don't want the whole thing. Obviously, we've seen what's happened with Liver King.
Yeah. That's worse, honestly. It'd be better. Oh, by the way, I'm taking it. Like, everyone's, whoa, yeah, honesty, yeah. Total testosterone, 29.6 nmol. I don't know what number that'd be, but it's on just underneath the upper end of the range. So it looks natty to me.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, how do I look in person? Because people always say, you know, you look bigger in person or smaller in person.
You look...
I'd put it normal.
Probably about, like what I expected, but I think I've already got the lens of like when I see someone's shirtless pictures, I know that's with good lighting and stuff. So I know that you expect them to be like a little bit smaller when you see them day to day, unless you've done like push-ups in the elevator coming down.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to impress you, bro.
No, you look good though. I don't think, the thing is, your biceps, your arms are the same size as my MMA instructor's.
Yeah.
And I assume he's 90 as well. So I believe you personally. The fact that you're going through this Derek, like blood testing and everything as well. And plus like, it'll sound better coming from me than from you, but I think it definitely is coming down to like people's insecurities. Like when I first saw your pictures or someone else your size, straight away in my mind it's like, oh yeah, he can't be natty. But I'm not saying that as an insult to you. I'm almost saying it to like to myself, because it's like, oh yeah, like if he is natty, then fuck me, I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah.
So when I first saw your pictures, I don't really remember, but I probably would have thought, oh yeah, he's probably taking something. Yeah. Just because it's like, I couldn't imagine putting in the sacrifice and the work to look like that. But you've been into fitness for like 10 years, haven't you?
14 now.
There you go.
And it's like my life.
Yeah, there you go.
So we'll find out next year. It'll be an interesting year, 2023.
That's the year.
What's your routine like at the moment then for staying in shape, looking good?
I'm switching over to way more about martial arts and fighting. So I'm still training in the gym, but maybe like 3 times a week now, just trying to do maintenance volume. Wake up at 6:30, go for a run, come back, protein, everything, and go for like maybe... Right now, it's a bit all over the place because I'm just recently switched over to prioritize fighting. But recently, it's more like just 3 times full body, just maintenance volume, just trying like maintain the size that I've got. And I'm just cutting down a little bit now because I may as well just get into like more fighter shape.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything which you preach that you sometimes don't necessarily follow from time to time?
Yeah, of course. Of course, man. Maybe I'll miss meditation. I'll eat some junk food every now and then.
You'll fap 6 times a day.
Yeah, of course, bro. I'm doing it right now. Look underneath the table, bro. Nah, not even that, man. Honestly, faffing for me is literally like less than once a year.
Mm.
But it's you're cheating when you have sex, I guess. But like, literally, don't watch porn. Don't faff at all. That's like something I just don't. It's not even like discipline for me. Honestly, it'd be more discipline for me to do it because it doesn't even pop into my mind anymore. I'm not sure if you're the same, but once you've not done it in so long, it's like it's harder to do it than it is without. But I'd say probably for me, like my one thing that I do the most that I tell my boys not to, is probably like junk food. Like I like a treat every now and then. If me and my girl go to like a cafe or something, like I want to get like a little croissant or something.
I think the thing which I'm most annoyed at with my behavior and habits, social media is one of them. I even have the time limit on Instagram for how much time I spend on it. It's like you've been on for 1 hour and I just ignore. I'm like, it's crazy. And I'm spending too much time on it. Like I'd say to myself, I go through periods of time where I'm like, this is ridiculous. I need to fix this. And then I just completely forget about it. And the way they suck you in, they get you every single time. So I am literally contemplating deleting the apps on my main phone, having my work phone with the apps on. And then any work which I need to do on Instagram, I will go on my work phone, blah, 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 done. And then I can just use this phone for anything else which I need to use it for.
Meditation really helps with this. I think that's the best benefit. It's like, you know, so for maybe on average, it's like half an hour passes by till you realize, oh, I'm wasting time, and you get off. With meditation, like you just become way more conscious and aware. So when I started meditating, like I was doing it quite extreme, like 60 minutes a day. But honestly, it got to the point where like I wouldn't even accidentally click on it anymore. Everything I did became with intention and purpose. So if there was a time that I clicked on it, you know, to post something or something, I'd literally posted it and went off. Mm. But as I've like, you know, it's times where I've not meditated as much, I find myself more prone to these things. Like, you probably know, like, you know, with social media and everything, what they're trying to take from you is attention. Yeah. And meditation is literally the skill of harnessing your attention for yourself. That's why like I preach it so highly, because it's literally, I think, the number one needed skill to fix mental health these days. Because most of our mental health problems are coming from our smartphone, social media. And if you have the ability to control your attention and just, you know, really choose, okay, how long do I want to be on Instagram right now? Like I'm on it, like I've got a new account. Literally maybe 2-3 minutes a day now.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't even, I was going to say I follow no one. I follow like you and like two other guys this week. Mm-hmm. And I don't even look at your posts or anything. Like maybe if you've got a story, whilst I've opened, okay, quick, I'll look at that. Yeah. But it's like, Tate says this. He said like he does everything with purpose, with consciousness. I don't think he's like a master meditator or anything. But when he said it, I was like, oh yeah, like that really sounds like what a high level of meditation does to you. You ever meditated?
Do you know what? I think that is the answer to a lot of my problems. I think, especially this year, I'm trying to take on a little bit more. So there's more responsibility, more staff, even with just doing this podcast. Like, I can't help but constantly pre-plan things in advance. So typically, I'd be like, right, okay, let's go to bed. And if I've got a podcast the next day, then all I can think about is the podcast and the questions I'm going to ask and how the conversation is going to go. And then I get like worked up. And then before I know it, like my heart rate's gone up and I just can't sleep for shit. So I feel like if I can master this art of meditation and doing it regularly, I think I'm just going to be so much more relaxed. My ultimate dream is to go to bed, lie down, out. That's what I want.
Mm.
Very rarely happens.
Yeah.
I have this, I'm like, I'm trying to...
Is that whoop?
Yeah. I'll admit, even though I know the things which I need to do before bed to enhance and seduce myself into having a good night's sleep, I'm not that regularly. I'm not doing those things.
It's so interesting you use that exact phrase. I know what I should do, but I don't do it, because I hear that exact sentence all the time. Mm. And that's why I tell guys, like, just meditate. Like, literally, this is just an attention problem. It's nothing else. You're an extremely disciplined, hardworking guy, so we know you've got the capability for it. It's just that, like, using, you know, modern technologies has deteriorated some of your attention. Mm. Because most likely, unless you're drinking caffeine really late or something, but most likely there's no physical issue for you to fall asleep. It's all in your mind, isn't it? It's because your attention is going somewhere else. If you're able to control your attention, like, I like, not to boast, but I can, like, I can fall asleep in 10 minutes every single night, no problem at all. I have like deeper sleep problems later on in the night. REM sleep's a bit fucked from like trauma and everything, but like my sleep habits and falling asleep, absolutely perfect, just because of, honestly, meditation and then, you know, like some good habits before bedtime, not like using caffeine, not really going on your phone. Mm. But if that's one of your biggest problems, honestly, 5 minutes of meditation every single morning.
So step by what the basic steps for an absolute newbie when it comes to meditation? What do I need to do?
So the way I would recommend is you download a nice app on your phone.
Yes, there's another app.
Yeah. Yes. Or you can just use like a YouTube video if you want. They're all pretty much the same. I like an app called Medito, and everyone can go down. It's completely for free. It's like by volunteers and everything. I've always used that. And nowadays, I don't really do normal meditation. I do deep breathing. So you might like that as well, because that relaxes you and brings your heart rate down even more. So when you're tracking it on the Whoop, it'll be nice to see, because you'll literally see your heart rate go down.
Mm.
So deep breathing, any deep breathing app, any deep breathing like YouTube video. And you just follow like a certain sort of breathing template, like a structure for 5 minutes or so. And the way I'd explain it, because a lot of these apps don't actually like literally tell you what to do. They kind of like, you know, guide you through it, but they don't tell you what the point of meditation is. And I figured this out really early. I could be wrong, but like the way I thought of it is we focus on one main thing. So it's usually the breath. That's completely our focus. Within literally a split second, your attention has deviated to somewhere else and you're thinking about the podcast tomorrow. You're thinking about high school. You're thinking about another fake Nazi video or anything. Your attention's gone. And you're not really aware that it's like, you know, you're not consciously thinking, oh, it's gone for like maybe a couple of seconds because you're still breathing. You think you're focused on your breath. And then you realize, oh, I was deep in thought. That moment when you realize that you're deep in thought, all you've got to do is not hate on yourself. Just bring the attention back to the breath. It's this process of going from the thought to back to the breath. That's like doing like one bicep curl to the brain. Mm-hmm. If you do that 10 times a day, that's awesome. That's already progress. Once you get to the point of doing that maybe 100, 200 times a day, which, you know, it's these micro moments. Maybe it'll happen 10 seconds from now. Maybe it'll happen when you go into the toilet later. I reckon a couple hundred times a day, you'll absolutely be passing out at nighttime.
Yeah. I think there's that and there's stretching. Those two things.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like my life would completely transform.
Stretching's hard to get into. I don't know how to get into it, man. I've tried.
It's so boring.
I've tried so many times.
It doesn't feel nice either. Yeah. If you're a stiff guy as well, it's like, oh my God.
Stiff hamstrings from the leg curls. My hamstrings are still sore from like 2019, man. The RDLs I did once.
It catches up on you though, yeah. Because I never really noticed anything up until the age of, I guess like 31, 32. I'm just noticing like maybe, it's just like it's like a pain in my lower back, and I notice it's because my posture is like really bad, and I think I have a bit of it's anterior pelvic tilt
forward.
It's one of them.
The butt forward.
The butt is like pushing forward a little bit.
Yeah, anterior.
And it doesn't help because in Dubai I'm driving around a lot, and I'm driving around in that like a low sports car. Like everything's, I'm not walking as much as I'd usually walk in the summertime, and I notice it just kind of catches up, and I think, holy shit. Like, what is this going to be like in 40 if I don't address this now?
Mm.
So I need to, everybody should be doing it. It's literally the reduction in the risk of injury is obviously going to be massive. You're going to have a greater range of motion.
Mm.
It's just naturally going to be quite maybe a relaxing process at some point.
Can I give you a tip for that, actually?
Well,
I found the smallest amount of progress. You know, you've probably tried to do like stretch routines, haven't you?
I've done a few, yeah.
Yeah, they're showing you different exercises. It's too much, honestly. It's like, that's like taking a beginner and showing him like 20 different exercises. He's not going to remember.
But this is what some guy did. He was like really good at showing me all these mobility routines, but he literally just bombarded me with like,
it's not going to, yeah.
Like, hey, do this one. And I'm like, can you please structure it in some kind of a routine so that I understand what to do and what to follow?
It's not even the routine. You know what I'd recommend? Choose one exercise and hold it for like minutes at a time and use that as your time to go on your phone. So particularly go and look for a stretch which you can still use your phone on. Which, yeah, like, you know, we're being a bit like spurgy, but whatever. Like there's one for my hips, which I like, where I just go into like frog pose. Like, you know, you kneel down, open your legs a bit more, and literally I'll just hold there, just like watch YouTube on my phone. Yeah. It's the only way I've been able to do it so far.
I think that's one of the best ways to do it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Even when I go and do cardio, like I'm doing something productive when I do it.
Yeah, it's so much better. When I do cardio, like incline treadmill walk or something, hop on Discord, hop on like a video call with one of my guys, especially doing that. Like you're going on your phone's nice, but like when I hop on like a call with a follower, like a video call, mm-hmm. and if they're watching me, I'm not going to hold the handrails right now. I'm not going to like slow it down. Like as soon as I hop on, I'm like speeding it up, max incline. Yeah, let's do it. Let's power walk now.
So with the content which you're doing, you're pretty damn regular with it, which is I'm impressed with.
Thank you.
Because it's for anybody who doesn't do YouTube, they just assume it's not a real job. It's easy, but it's actually really quite time consuming. And if you're the type of person that's putting out content nearly every single day, it's very time consuming. So what is the process with you and yourself when it comes to coming up with an idea for a video? Like how do you think about something? Because I guess you're at a point now where I was at that point as well, where you've obviously put out a lot of content, and then you're like, oh shit, like, I've already done a video on this. Like, trying to find something new to do. How does your brain work when it comes to the creative process?
See, I don't look out for like something new, because the way I see it, like some people have criticized my videos and said, oh, they're really repetitive. He says the same things. But the way I see it is like, but repetition's good. Mm. Like, oh, the bench press is really repetitive. I'm not going to do it again. It should just give me all the gains. Like, no, well, you do it all the time and that's how you get the gains from it. And for a guy like me, at least in my mind, like I needed someone to hammer in the same points over and over again for it to like really be serious in my mind. So that's what I do. I don't particularly look out for something new that I've not really spoke about. I go and live my life and I get like, you know, lessons. Maybe I'll take away like three things once I leave from this. And I'll be like, oh, like Mike talked about this thing and maybe I can use that in a video. And because I'm quite close to the guys who watch my videos, like I'm always in my Discord server, I do like meetups and everything. They'll come over and say, oh, Hamza, you know, I'm struggling with this thing. And if the same like four guys tell me the same thing per day, it's like, oh, like, okay, this is the thing that they're struggling with, which I've probably not addressed yet. So let's make a video on that. Sure. But so far, honestly, like it's easier for me because just of the nature of like, you know, the guys are asking about my videos because the videos are really for them. And they're asking, oh, could, you know, you made this video, but you didn't explain this. Or Hamza, I'm struggling with this. And, you know, most people have the same kind of struggles. So it's easy for me. Like I've never had a time where I've really like ran out of ideas personally, just because people just give them to me.
Yeah.
So it's way easier.
And I guess there's a lot of problems out there to solve.
Yeah.
What's the most common one that your audience seem to have an issue with?
One of the ones that they don't very much talk about, but it's certainly the most popular, is just problems with girls. They're all lonely. You know, 80-something% of guys are quite lonely. They aren't dating right now. So that's why a lot of my videos are quite focused on getting girls at the moment, because I've kind of like neglected that side of things for a long time. So that, but no guy really speaks about that. You know, if I ever do like a poll, like, oh, what videos do you want to see? Like, no one's clicking girls. It's like, it's a shameful thing these days to like mention like, oh yeah, you want to get girls, you want to get love in your life. But if I make a video on girls, top, like so many views, everyone's interested in it, saying, oh, it's really helped them, they're going through a breakup right now. But the one that they all actually talk about and admit, probably money. I think with Tate really going global and even telling young men to, you know, start pursuing money even whilst they're in the education system, so many guys are rising up and thinking, man, like I could actually be making money right now. They've got some peers who they're seeing maybe flipping Instagram accounts or something, making like a few hundred. And so many guys, every single meetup now, are asking me like, oh, Hamza, like, you know, I'm 15 years old, I'm in school and stuff, but like, what could I even do to make money right now? How do you even start a business?
Yeah. I think it's a mad one for a youngster when they're growing up. They're never really taught how to approach girls, how women work. Like it's literally just a case where you have to experience and hopefully learn from that experience. But it's naturally, I think, those types of people who are more extroverted and they're just naturally like way more talkative. And from that, they tend to be a little bit more confident because they're just better with people. And then there's the opposite end of the spectrum where, you know, a really introverted person might have a lot more of a difficult time communicating or even breaking the ice. I think the biggest problem I had when I was growing up as a teenager, I could have a conversation with a girl easy, but it was breaking the ice. It was having the balls to go up to a girl and just say something without it being awkward. But once I'd broken the ice or someone had introduced me to her, then it was easy because then I could just have a conversation and usually they would warm to me because I was just a nice dude. But the icebreaking is a tough one because realistically 80-90% of the time you're gonna get shot down.
Yeah. And things are different now as well. Like when you were young, no offense, it was a little while ago, but like these days it's quite different. And the sort of quite evil brainwashing and conditioning, you know, the poor advice that young men are getting in terms of girls, like, oh yeah, just tell her you're in love with her, just, you know, be a simp for her and stuff. So a lot of guys are falling for it these days and just doing what would come naturally from the movies they've been watching. You know, every guy's watched the movie where the girl is literally with like the Chad, the jock, and he's, you know, like focusing on football or something, and the girl feels really upset, and the little nerdy skinny guy, it's like obsessively thinking about her. He's got pictures of her on a wall and eventually he wins her. And it kind of shows, okay, this little weird guy eventually gets the girl. So they should quite like be like him. Mm. And so we've got the rise of guys who are obsessing over girls who aren't even thinking about them. And this in the real world, that this doesn't actually work out well. In the real world, like, the girl is obsessing over the guy who's obsessing over something else. You know, he's obsessing over his work or his fitness or something. So the majority of guys, they're just following like a false blueprint to success or to failure, because they've not been given another one. And so when someone actually starts speaking about dating, and they can tell, like, you know, the guy's got some experience, like Andrew Tate, and the way that he talks about women and, you know, attracting them is so different that they've ever heard from their friends, their family, every movie. A lot of guys revolt against it straight away, but it really clicks in a lot of people's minds, and they're like, oh yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
She's after that alpha, strong, masculine, dedicated, disciplined guy. Why am I trying to still be like the little effeminate guy who's obsessed over it, instead of trying to be like that jock type personality? Mm-hmm.
Was there a point in time when you figured it out?
Yeah.
When was that? How old are you?
I'd say probably near the first year of uni. So about 19, 20. I had already the way that I learned everything was from the Red Pill. So, you know, the underground, like, misogynist group and everything. So this was before the YouTubers or Tate or anything. This was long before. This was when the Red Pill was like a subreddit on Reddit. And it was like quarantine, shut down and everything, but you could still log on. And when I saw people talk about it, oh, you know, this is misogynist, it's glad it's been restricted now or something. And I go in there thinking, oh yeah, these guys are probably going to be crazy. And it was literally just guys telling each other, like, yeah, like, go to the gym. No, stop smoking weed. Like, stop doing this. Do this. No, stop acting like a little simp in front of her. Do this instead. Don't reply to a text too fast. Do this instead. It was like finding the cheat code to life, honestly. It was like just discovering it. And I used it. It worked fantastically. I went into the gym every time that I wanted to slack from the gym, and I'd read one of these posts where they're like, no, don't slack. Don't be a pussy. Do this. It was like the first time that like a man was actually telling me what like the right thing to do, because all this time, you know, I'd been told like, oh yeah, just be yourself and she'd like you. But like, I was myself for a long time and no girls liked me. It was only when I started to act more like that guy, the one up there. And, you know, in some time I kind of became like him. That suddenly like, yeah, cracked the code. And the experiences that I got to have, coming from a guy who had none of those maybe 2 years before that, it blew my mind. You see a side, like, you probably know, you see a side to women that you didn't know existed, that no one really spoke about. And you see them, like, quite frankly, you see them like as like just normal people now. Once you crack the code to women, you realize that they're literally just human beings. But most guys aren't there, because they see them as like this puzzle to be solved, this like mysterious puzzle. And that causes this weird worship obsessiveness, which obviously doesn't help them.
Yeah. I'm at a point now where I'm so picky when it comes to choosing who I'm going to spend my time with, because my time is valuable. So if I'm going to be spending my time with a girl, like, I need to either be entertained, or I maybe have some kind of stimulating conversation, or maybe just is someone who's really good at just distracting me from my work, and so I can be in the present. Because that's one thing I struggle with at the moment.
Yeah.
What is it that you're looking for at this point in time? I mean, I imagine you just moved here, so did you have to say goodbye to a certain someone back in the UK?
Nah, I brought her with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Beautiful girl, yeah. So I met her when my standards were very high. Like, you know, maybe not as high as yours. I'm not as successful, but like...
Hey, bro, my standards are really low.
Like, my standards were very low to begin. You know, anything's fine, you know, at certain points. And then recently, it's went to an abnormally high level. Like, if she's got social media, it's unacceptable, honestly. I know that's extreme, but it's like, I can't date a girl who's got any social media presence. So my girl is like fully like a diamond. It's no, literally, you can't find her anywhere.
Yeah.
I love that, literally.
It's crazy. But if the girls I've had the most success with, in terms of the relationship, have been those ones who don't really care about social media. And they usually, if they have followers, it's usually like 10,000 followers. Mm. Being in a relationship with an influencer girl is headache.
What's that like?
Oh, it's just... especially the ones that are really busy, and they're just like taking pictures of everything, da, 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 and then you become their photographer, and then you have to start taking photos of everything, and they just have a hell of a lot of options as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, luckily I'm at a point where I am probably at the top of the options which she has, but I know for a fact she's getting messages all day, every day. And I guess it depends. You could have a big following, but you've gained a big following maybe because you are offering like really interesting information. Maybe it's a fitness account. Maybe you're doing something which doesn't involve you spreading your butt cheeks on every single post. like those types of girls who are getting the ass out and the boobs out, I feel like, really, is this all you have to offer? Mm. And most of the time, that is really all they have to offer. So I don't know. Whenever I see that on social media, I'm like, I don't want my partner to be the type of girl who's getting naked on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like it's not classy.
Yeah.
And it shows that they are just, they're craving attention. They want attention all the time. And if it's got to the point where my attention is not enough for them, then it's not going to work out. Because I even have a few girls in the past where they'd show me a picture and they'd be like, is this a nice post? Like, should I put it on Instagram? And they literally have just got their ass out. And I'm like, well, yeah, you can post it if you want, but why do you want to post it? Like, for what reason do you want to post that? You're not earning a living from social media. So what is the reason for you wanting to post a picture of your ass out? Do you want to get a little likes? Do you want to get a little DM from guys? Do you want to get some approval from someone? It's weird.
Yeah. You say it in a very sophisticated way, but I think I speak for all men. Like, it's disgusting. Literally, like, we get a gut pain when we see stuff like that. Like, when we see the woman that we are with, or, you know, that we love, that we're idolizing in some sense, and we see her destroying her purity, it physically feels disgusting for us. Like, we're not supposed to talk about this because it's supposed to be like, you know, men and women are the same and women can do everything that men can do and everything. But the truth is, like, most men do genuinely have this gut, like, feeling. Anytime you see, like, a lot of, like, sexual promiscuity in a girl, including social media, like, thirst traps, it genuinely feels disgusting to see that. And, you know, these girls, like, they're not bad people for this. Mm-hmm. I think they're the victims alongside men because, you know, think about how little they must value themselves to do this. Whereas before, that image was, like, sacred to her husband. Nowadays, it's like she has to do that to get any level of attention. Which it's just upsetting to me with both ways. But
what is it? It's the dopamine hit because they know they're going to get the most likes, the most comments from the pictures which are exposing the most skin.
Yeah.
So they'll do that one post with the ass out, and then they'll go back to doing a normal post with the picture with the clothes on or
doesn't
whatever.
Perform as well,
and they don't get as many likes. Yeah. And then they're like, "Oh God,
yeah,
no. I need more likes."
It becomes like an evil feedback loop then, doesn't it? Yeah. They're getting positively reinforced to keep taking more and more and more off.
Yeah. And there is, like, for the ladies out there, there is a way to do it so that it's classy. Like, you can still look really sexy, but cover up at the same time. And I know there's some accounts which I follow and some of the girls that do that. And they've managed to still give off a lot of sex appeal without having to expose anything. So it's pretty mad.
Yeah. Well, that's even more attractive, isn't it? Because if they can show that sex appeal, but with the added aspect of purity, that's like so highly desired by the male brain. Because what we want is, we want the sexual excitement, but we also want purity. And if we can see that in the same woman, that's literally top tier. Usually you only get to choose one. You know, our brain kind of thinks, okay, we get to choose the pure woman who's kind of low key and, you know, she's not going to be like a freak, or we can choose the freak, but then she's not pure. And it's weird to think, oh, wait, like, how many guys has she been with? It kind of hurts you in some sense. If you can see so both of them, that's I think that's like the top tier that maybe women should be aiming for.
Yeah. And it's a tricky one for those guys who are in a relationship with those types of girls. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe, you know, the girl's with the guy and the guy's not behaving himself on social media. I think there's a lot of relationships where it's not spoken about. Like, maybe one of the individuals is just keeping it to themselves and they're just being quiet. They're watching their partner do stuff which is not making them happy, but they just, like, keep it in because they don't want to cause an argument or start a fight. When in reality, they should just be like, look, by you doing this, like, it doesn't make me feel good. Like, can you at least maybe try not do this? Otherwise, I probably don't really want to be in this relationship anymore.
Yeah. I think with a lot of, like, the conditioning, the media that's out there as well, I think a lot of girls are seeing this. They're seeing the rappers take all their clothes off and they're being, you know, all the girls are screaming, whoa, they're getting all the validation. So I don't even think women have a lot of good role models these days, honestly. Mm. Like, a good role model for women these days is like Megan Thee Stallion or something. And
yeah,
they've got no one to look up to.
It's like Cardi B, innit? And other girls like that. I mean, I can't even think off the top of my head who is a good female role model.
Yeah, I can't.
Beyonce, maybe. there's a few fitness girls like Ruba and Hiba Ali. They're two big fitness girls who I'm friends with, and I respect what they're doing because they're spreading a positive message. But there's not many of them. Maybe I think there's like a space for that.
Yeah, totally. There's any business-minded women watching right now, honestly, like, not only would men like to see this, but there's a lot of women in like the unspoken area right now that don't want to go down the normal sort of feminist route of like, oh yeah, let me show all my clothes, like show my body off to get some likes. There's a lot of girls who are wanting to revolt to that, but they've got no role model to look up to. There's an open space right now. If there is like a business-minded woman, easily become the leader of that space.
Yeah.
Just revolt against it. Speak loud, just like as I do. And if you just say like, no, we won't stand for this anymore. We won't keep like devaluing ourselves and showing more and more of ourselves to the public world when that should be reserved for like the most important person, like our husband. Because it's a very sad reality because, you know, I have to be careful to not be labeled as like a misogynist here. But women don't really realize like the girls doing this, that it devalues them. Mm-hmm. They don't realize that if there is a guy liking their pictures when they're showing a lot of their body, that guy is not trying to wife you. He's not trying to like, you know, take you on a serious date. He's only thinking about one thing. And then it's unfortunate because then you see the girls posting like, oh, you know, guys only care about one thing. It's because that's literally just the only thing you're showing. I would like to push this new narrative of women realizing that they've got so much more to offer than that. And it's so weird because it's like you're seen as a misogynist if you actually like a woman hater, if you tell them like, no, you're worth more than your body. You've got so much more value to provide to the world. To reduce yourself down to just posting these types of pictures and to degrade yourself, I don't know how I'm the bad person for having these kind, you know, takes as well. Like how this is seen as like the hateful view. When if anything, like I think the normal conditioning out there, I think that's evil. The conditioning, brainwashing, media, everything that's convinced women that this is what they've got to do to get any level of attention, love, and validation. I think that's blatantly evil. And I think the people who are standing up and telling them like, no, you don't have to do this to get like the higher level, not just like the degenerate men, but the higher level quality men. Put on more clothes. Mm-hmm. I wish we could push this message because the amount of respect that these women would get if they literally put more clothes on from the better guys, they'd lose the respect of the bottom guys. You know, those bottom guys will go find some other girl on like OnlyFans or something, but you didn't want to be with those bottom guys anyway. You didn't want to be with these like horny guys who've got nothing to offer, but they just want to sleep with you.
Yeah. And you can see that with some of the guys who are really in the top of the game. You look at their partners, and their partners a lot of the time are like very, very classy, probably haven't slept around much, like really quite hard to find.
Yeah.
And when it comes to your social media and your relationship, are you going to keep that? You're going to keep her away from social media? You're not going to present her to the world? Because I think this is a problem which I've always had with my past relationship, with my social media. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, Mike, why are you never showing me? Like, why are you never like put any pictures up or put me in your videos? And I've got to the point now where I don't think they're fully aware or prepared for what can come once I've kind of introduced them to the following of maybe like a lot of normal people, but a lot of crazy people. So the majority of the time I keep it separate. And usually a happy relationship is one which is off social media.
Yeah. Totally agreed. I've shown her a couple of times in some videos. Every now and then you see some pictures, or you know, we're just goofing around, there's a clip there or so. But I think it's a bad thing to do personally. Like I've done it before with previous relationships, and like you said, there's some evil bad people out there, so they'll just see you know, they hate me, for example, right? They hate me, fine. I'll post a picture with my girl, you know, it's mostly positive comments and stuff, and then there'll be some absolute horrible ones. Like, so I posted like one video with my girl, and like I've seen videos made about her. Like she's never even spoke on videos or anything. No one even knows her real name or anything. And literally people have made a video about her. Yeah, she's a dumb bimbo bitch and she's lying. Like, look at this. There's a picture of her holding a book she can't even read. Like, what the fuck? Like, obviously me and her look like watching the video thing. Okay, this guy probably smells. Like, he probably doesn't even like, you know what I mean? But it's still like, she took it really well, but it could not have been taken well. And that can really fuck someone's mind up if they've heard, you know, they see content being made about them. You and I, we've been in this space for a long time now. So, you know, someone makes a video about us. It's like, yeah, whatever. He's probably just want some views. But when someone's doing it about your partner, not only is she going to get upset and she'll start crying and stuff, but like, I want to, you know, I mean, like, who is this fucking guy? Tell him to come to the fight club now, bro, this Saturday, bro.
I like an exotic look. And then I had one relationship where she had like a very prominent jawline. And then a load of people say, no, that's a tranny. I'm like, excuse me? Like, it's freaking ridiculous. Like, people are just, they want to critique, they want to leave the comments. And I mean, I can look at it, I can laugh, I can just wash it off. But they're, if they're in a video, they always want to see that video.
Yeah.
And then they get sucked into the comments. And then they're like, what the fuck? They've never experienced anything like that before. That level of negativity, which is always usually at the peak on YouTube because you can comment anonymously. It's fucking mad.
Yeah. They're not built for it. Well, I mean, I don't think humans are built for it in general. I don't think like our brains have been made to receive criticism from hundreds of people online. I think it really does mess us up, like psychologically.
Well, do you know why? One of the reasons why I put off doing this podcast for a while is because I knew that maybe I would be speaking with some controversial people, or I knew that I would, for the first time, kind of be expressing my opinions on certain topics, which I haven't really expressed before, because my approach has always been fairly neutral. I avoid talking about anything controversial or anything which generally I feel like hasn't got anything to do with the training or whatever it might be. So I know I'm stepping into this unknown territory where I am probably going to get some shit for something I say, or maybe something my guest has said, but it's something which I'm going to take on. I'm prepared to take any heat if any comes my way. Hopefully I don't get any heat. But it's the problem, like, even someone like Joe Rogan. Like, Joe Rogan's, like, seems like the nicest guy ever. Like, he's very open to hearing other points of views. He doesn't really have, he didn't swing too much one way or another. But then someone went back to one of his early episodes, and then he got all the shit for being racist. And then borderline nearly got cancelled. But the only reason he didn't get cancelled is because so many people actually like him. So, yeah, I'm hoping that doesn't happen to me.
Yeah, I'm glad you're doing this work, honestly. I think this is extremely important to be spreading these kind of messages. Mm-hmm. And you could play it safe and, you know, still live a pretty good life. Mm-hmm. But I think you got to the point where, like, you know, you rinse out a lot of the things, like you said, that you could say, and you're looking for something a bit new. And I think this was needed for you. And honestly, I'd say just take the criticism up front, honestly, fuck them.
Yeah, I think it did get to the point where I was making some of the videos which I used to make in the past, like some of the vlogs, the lifestyle videos, and I would post it and I just thought, like, what was the point in that video? Like, I've just shown somebody what I get up to day in the life in Dubai, even though maybe some people want to see that, but I felt like it didn't really have any substance to it.
Purpose.
And now I get way more satisfaction after creating some form of content, which I feel like is really going to have an impact on people or help people. Or even maybe it's just a really entertaining vlog, but anything that's half-assed or already been done, or felt like my heart wasn't really into it, then I just think that was a bit of shit. Mm. And I would honestly say I do have a little bit of fear of becoming irrelevant. I think that's a fear. Everyone who's big on social media, I guess, kind of has that.
Mm.
To having millions of views to just becoming a nobody.
Have you seen that when you click on someone's channel, it's like 1 million subs or 2 million subs, like 10K views recently or something? Like, yeah. That's my biggest nightmare, man.
Like, that's... But how do you bounce back from that? Very quickly, guys, I just want to ask you a quick question. Are you taking supplements? And if you are, do you have any idea if you're taking the right supplements in the right amounts? You see, the more that I discovered about the importance of micronutrient supplementation and the adverse health effects of micronutrient deficiencies, I would constantly ask myself the same thing. I would go into supplement stores, load up on bottles of micronutrients and pop pills daily without really knowing if they were doing me any good or not. That's when I decided to try out Bionic. Since 2021, I've been getting my blood work done with them every 3 to 4 months. Once the blood test has been analyzed, they would put together a customized micronutrient formula tailored specifically for me. And this would last me for 3 to 4 months until I got my blood work done again. And since then, I've honestly never looked back. If you are also serious about performing at your best, preventing development of diseases and maximizing your overall health and well-being, I highly recommend you give it a try. And they've recently introduced Bionic Go, which is a fraction of the price, where all you need to do is just fill in a questionnaire online without the need of a blood test. If you want to find out more, or give them a try, head over to bionic.com, but you can use my exclusive referral code BQMikeThurston for a discount on your first order. Let's get back to the episode.
I I'd reckon new channel, start again, fresh. You've still got some good skills and everything, but it's very difficult. Like, I've got a friend, Mo Samuels. He's got like one. You probably seen him. He's in your space, like fitness. 150K.
I've seen him.
Shadow banned multiple times. He keeps posting like girls' asses on his thumbnails and shit. But he's been shadow banned multiple times, and his he showed me his analytics of things. It wasn't performing well, and like, you know, 150K subs, but sometimes like 5K views, because, you know, YouTube's throttled it a bit, and then he's trying to figure out like what else to do. And so it took him a while, and then just recently he's been posting like a bit more like clickbaity videos, but like they've been performing so well. So it's like, okay, a new pathway to go down. But honestly, like, when I see this, like, me and my right hand man Sam, like, we sometimes will see this in channels, and we'll literally be sat there saying like, okay, how do we avoid this, because that's just horrible. I'd personally, if it did happen to me, for example, I'd stop posting, honestly. Like, I'd like to leave my channel as like a relic, like, you know, for a place that men can go to, and I don't want to like burn it to the ground. If it gets to the point where I'm just producing shit, or if I'm like hated or something, I'll leave it there, and I'll be like, okay, fair enough, like, I think there's some good value here, enjoy it, spread this channel around if you want, and, you know, you can find me on Rumble or something instead.
It's crazy when you have a big audience, you have to be really responsible, a lot more responsible with what you say. You know, like, if you had 10,000 subscribers versus 1 million or 10 million, like, with 10,000 subscribers, you can get away with doing pretty much whatever you want. No one's going to be offended. But with a bigger following, there's going to be more people that are going to be offended. And that's obviously the problem which Tate had. But as well, I think it's, if you have an audience that love you, you have to be careful not to take advantage of that. And I think I've seen a lot of influencers do that, especially over the past year, when they're trying to like make a load of money with some NFT
crypto scams
or crypto. I mean, I've been asked many times to do promo for NFTs and crypto, and I was just like, look, I don't understand this. Yeah, I can make some money, but it just seems so shady. And if this goes wrong, which it may go wrong, if a load of people lose money, I'm going to feel terrible if that happens. And then you're going to have an audience. Maybe people start making videos about how they lost money on your scam or whatever it might be. I just don't ever want to be in that situation. So I don't even really promote that much on my channel, if I'm being honest. I have my app. There's like some coaching bits, which I've done in the past. Supplements, my protein. But again, it's not like, I'm not going heavy with it. I don't like to sell to people too much. Do you do that much with your videos? I know I've had a look. I guess you have ebooks. You got a course as well?
Yeah.
Do you talk about it regularly or? Yeah.
When I first released it, obviously, you know, this is the launch, guys. Just go click on the link. Nowadays, it's like, you know, there's a lead magnet and everything. You can get some workout routines in exchange for email. And then it's like, it takes them, I think, like 12 emails to even get to the first pitch. So then they've got to like get out of a funnel and click on a different. It's like, it's a bit hard to even find the things that I sell. Just because, like, when I came into the space, and especially with fitness, I'd say it's a bit less, but with mine, you know, the guy is like literally down bad when he's watching my videos a lot. Like, every video, let's say, gets 100K views, 200K views. There's a handful of guys who are quite literally like planning suicide that same night watching my videos. It is that serious. And so when I was down bad and I was like literally like living the life that I, you know, tell people how to get out of, and I'd click on these videos like how to change your life and everything, and quite frankly, these dickheads, they'd put like a 3-minute sponsor in the video. I would be there, honestly, close to tears, high as fuck on weed and everything, junk food all around me, 6th of Feb for the day, just thinking like, what an asshole. Like, I genuinely, like, you know, I wanted this video to save me. No video ever helped me back in the day. And seeing all this, like, this bullshit, like, in my niche, but these guys are taking like these dumb sponsors. It's just instant gratification. That, you know, how you said, like, you could get the money now with an NFT or something. Yeah, it's instant gratification. You can get the pleasure, the boost right now. But long term, it's probably going to be a sacrifice to your brand, to the amount of money that you make long term. And it's the same. So when I saw the pretty much everyone in my niche, shitty sponsor, Teach Handley or whatever one, that, and you know that they don't even use it themselves. Right. And it's always the same thing. Oh, you know, like, they sponsored me, but even if they didn't sponsor me, I would get, sure you would, bro. You would. And so I couldn't respect it, like, pretty much anyone doing that. And to date, I've never done like a full on, like, pointless sponsor that I don't use. There was one which is a company which does like summaries of self-improvement books. So it's, oh yeah, fair enough. I recommend books all the time. That's actually awesome. And I've mentioned them, honestly, like, maybe 3, 4, 5 times or something. Like, when I make like, you know, a book summary video, I'm like, oh yeah, by the way, the link in the description. But to push it onto your fans, I'm a bit mixed, you know, because I do also really like the skill of sales and entrepreneurship. Yeah. That's how I started.
Well, you're good friends with Iman, aren't you? And Iman, he's a fucking smart guy. Like, he knows how to market. He knows how to sell.
Top-tier marketer.
But at what point are you taking advantage of your viewers? Because it's so weird. I was thinking about this the other day. Like, you know how to sell. You know how to market. So you know how to get money from people. But how do you do that ethically? And like, is there a point where you're, you know, going past the boundaries and actually taking advantage of people in their vulnerable state? Do you know what I mean? Because I think Iman, he recently got a load of shit because he did, a Renaissance series.
Yeah, the event.
And then it was actually like amazing content, really good content. And I'm sure it woke a lot of people up. But then right at the end, it was like, there was a pitch.
I didn't think that was bad at all, honestly. Yeah. I saw like backlash, and I expected, like, I collabed with him as well. Like, I was in the second episode for a bit, and I knew people would backlash. People don't like to be sold to. One thing, if I could give him advice, is, yeah, don't sell on videos, sell privately on emails and everything, because on videos, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are seeing it. And so you don't want to like waste video time and also reputation when people are seeing it. People just hate to be, you know, seeing like a pitch there. And so, like, one thing I've learned from that event and also from recent experiences is that you're really selling to maybe 1% of your audience. And, you know, the trouble is just finding who the 1% is. Mm-hmm. And the best way to do that is on emails. Like, people hate you a lot less if you sell on emails than if you, like, you're the guy, oh, hey, guys, go, new product, like, go click on the... Especially when it's, like, a scammy... It's not a scam, but, like, you know, a scammy product that a lot of people see. But even in my mind, honestly, last, like, couple of weeks since that event, I've been, like, getting vexed. Like, I wanted to make, like, a response video to all the criticism that Iman's had. And I want to shout and say, like, stop calling entrepreneurs scammers. Like, if he scammed you, I will personally refund your money.
No, and I'm pretty sure it's a very good product.
Yeah, the people who have actually bought it, I've never heard, maybe it's biased because, you know, maybe I'm friends with them, but like, I've never heard someone say, oh, you know, the product shit and stuff. Every single person's like, whoa, it's actually really, like, when they speak to me, oh, I got his course, it's really good. I always ask him if they tell me he's got it. But people just throw away this label of like scam. A scam is like, okay, you bought something, it's like a dysfunctional course or something, and the videos aren't even up there or something, and he won't refund you. And that's illegal. Literally, you can get a refund back. Like, people don't really know, and maybe I don't want to expose it, but like, the buyers have all the rights these days. You actually can't, like, you really can't even be a scammer anymore. So when I do see like some YouTuber or something who's called a scammer, unless if it's some, you know, he's paired with some NFT or something like that. And if it's just him selling his own course and it's too expensive for me. It's like, yeah, fair enough. Call it too expensive. Say that you can't afford it. But to make videos about this, about Iman, and say like, oh yeah, he's exposed and he's doing this and this. I just think, like, do you not want to make money too? Because this is what this young man's doing.
But you know what it is? It's because people are looking for something to hate on him for. Because this year, he's blown up. Like, his channel, I remember when I first met him, like, super cool guy, nice guy. His channel was about 400K.
Yeah.
And then it's blown up.
200K at the start of this year, I think.
And already, like, even I can't fathom. I'm like, this guy is 22. And he's, like, a multi-millionaire. And he's, like, super smart as well and intelligent. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how the hell has he done that? So I can imagine, maybe not the younger generation, but anyone who's older than him, like 25 in their 30s, and they're just looking at this young guy who's already smashed life and surpassed them massively. Of course they're going to be pissed off. Yeah.
It's the fake Nike shit all over again. It's like, if you're too big for me, then you've got to be on steroids. If he's richer than me and he's younger than me, he's got to be cheating the system something. Mm. And I said this to him, actually, like, the first time I ever saw content off him, I was maybe 21, 22, working in the homeless accommodation, night shifts, £9 an hour, seeing this dickhead, that was my thought of him, this dickhead with like some fancy ass building and everything, thinking, okay, he is absolutely lying, scamming, whatever. And this was before, you know, I ever spoke to him or anything, just like some YouTuber, some rich guy, thinking, yeah, he's got to be scamming or he's lying about his money or something. Years later, like, I've slept over at his place for a few days. It's like, I know he's not lying. I know he's not a scammer. He's honestly just a top, and I won't even say like talented. Maybe he is genetically, but like, he just works extremely hard. He's dedicated. Like, you know, he's posted videos about his schedule. When you live a life like that, when you wake up and you don't even like do like the normal pleasurable activities and you do nothing but work, it's like, how else, like, you're going to destroy your competition.
Yeah.
Like, the one vice he seems to have from my experience of living with him is like, yeah, he likes to party and be around girls and stuff. But even then, it's like, the next day, he's literally all, he was in his room all day, just working in meetings and everything, mm-hmm. just relentless. And yeah. that, once I saw it firsthand, I was like, yeah, that's how success is made. Of course it is.
Yeah. And there's some people that they can go out, they can party, you can have fun, but they'll wake up the next day when the alarm clock goes off and they're on it and they work all day. Most people can't do both. They party too much, they drink too much. And then, like me, I can't do both. If I go on a big night out and drink, I'm done in for the next day. So that's why I made the decision to really try and minimize how frequently those things happen. I like to go out. I like to drink. It's like a lot of my fondest memories have occurred when I've been out with my friends and we've been drinking, we've been partying. But it's just having that balance. And I think I've kind of cracked the formula now where I can go out, still have a good time, but I come back at a, you know, maybe 1 or 2 o'clock. And I really, maybe I had one drink, two drinks, or no drinks at all. And then the next day I'm on it again. So it's all good. Where do you see yourself in when you're 30? Because are you 26 now?
25. Yeah.
Doing good for 25, man.
Thank you.
What do you see 30?
So my rough life plan is, we've just moved to Dubai, company set up and everything. Stay here, good couple of years, stack up the wealth. 10 to 100 million net worth, couple of years. I really do think it's possible. Our income's extraordinarily high right now. We've got some big things coming as well. So once we've hit like enough wealth for me, every part of my family, everything that we'll ever need. I was saying this to Sam today. It's like, I'm not really built for this kind of life. Like, I'm adjusting and I'm working hard to be disciplined and to like be here and navigate it. But honestly, I'm not like a clean shirt, sophisticated guy. I'm a wild man, honestly. I'm supposed to have like a long beard, like just raggedy beard. Just give me an axe, give me a woman, and I'll just chop the wood and I'll like go hunt and stuff. That's the kind of man I'm supposed to be. So as soon as it's time, and I can retire. Like, I don't know why this is my goal, because if you ever looked at research, in the end, it's like if you give people money, it doesn't even do anything to them. They still stay depressed and stuff. But it's just, it's just something I want to complete. Retire everyone in my bloodline, and then literally I'm just going to go hunter-gatherer mode and just go like Alaska or something, 7 big dogs, literally just hunt for food and like just drop off. Like, I mean, maybe I'll still produce some kind of content if I can, just because I'm sure people will, there'll be some people who still want to like look at what I'm doing. But I can't like, I dream about that every day, bro. I know it's silly, but like I literally dream about being in the wild every single day. Like I fantasize about being in forests and just having a campfire. Like that's my vice.
Yeah, you're gonna struggle with that being in Dubai.
Yeah, but I'm doing well because it's like this is very purposeful and focused. Yeah. This is the place to be to spread this message. Like I was saying this to Sam, and he was like, whilst he understands that this is my sort of ambition, my real like desire, the reason why we're here is because we have this duty to the men of the world to spread this message, which, you know, it's like this responsibility that's been thrusted into me to be a great leader. To drop off now, it's not in the picture. Be here, couple of years, networking, getting wisdom from other guys who are doing really well, spread this message, help the men of the world, and then go from there.
Yeah. I think I definitely see myself being more stuck into nature. Bali's nice. If you've been to Bali, you should check that out. That's a cool place. I don't know where I'll end up, but similar to you, I'm here to do my thing. I don't even know if it's like money driven or just
status, maybe.
Yeah, or maybe I don't know. I feel like I'm chasing. I want respect. I want to be respected by people, but also other top tier men, like the successful entrepreneurs. The celebrities, I wanted to get the respect off them, and I want them to know who I am. That's why, like, I feel like this is something which can help with that. But here's definitely the place to do it. If you know the right people, they can make the introductions. You know, it can be really good.
Mm. So that goal sounds like it's coming from your ego, but it seems like in my perception, I think that's a good thing. Well, what would you say?
I'd probably agree with that.
Yeah,
I think there's maybe something in my childhood where I don't feel, I don't know, we're getting deep now.
Yeah.
But yeah, this, because I find it so interesting, because of why I do the things that I do. I really am curious to know why, and I want to know why other people do the things they do. That's why I'm so curious to know, why I asked before, why you were making these videos.
Mm.
Because maybe it was like the upbringing you had, you just want to offer more advice to younger men. I feel like there's something which I'm particularly doing now. When I was growing up, I was the older brother. I had an amazing dad, but I feel like my dad didn't necessarily give me all the advice and tools needed for life. But I don't know, maybe he didn't necessarily have them because he grew up in a completely different time period and social dynamic to what we have now. So it's a mad one, really. But I think you're going to excel here.
Thank you.
Where can people find you on social media?
Just search Hamza on YouTube. Top result.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to say what the Instagram is as well, or are we going to keep that?
Yeah, you can say the Instagram is Cult Leader Hamza. And you can just go. It's a new account. I've only got a couple of posts. But if you want to maybe see some more day-to-day stuff and some like pictures of me or whatever, you can find me there as well.
Yeah, nice one. Thank you very much for coming down. I appreciate it. And I'm sure it's not going to be the last to see of you.
Thank you so much for having me, mate.
Always, man.
Take care of yourself, bro.